I want to speak to you this morning by the help of God from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, on the subject that I've just been mentioning, thanking God for His unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, one verse 15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Now I know of sermons that preachers have preached using this text in which those preachers would read the verse and then try to describe the gift that this verse is written about. And in fact, I believe that we as preachers very often will think of this verse and then think about how we might describe the unspeakable gift. But as we look at this verse, I'd like for all of you to think for a little bit of time about the fact that if a preacher is going to try to describe the indescribable gift of God, which in a nutshell is the gift of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, that doesn't nearly cover everything about it. It's just a blunt statement about what this unspeakable gift is. But think for a moment about the fact that the preacher is going to try to describe this indescribable gift of God, then that preacher probably does not need to use this verse, because it's an unspeakable gift. And this unspeakable here is not the way we use it today, where we say, oh, that's such a bad thing, it's unspeakable. No, this unspeakable in the Greek means indescribable. I can't describe it. So if I said to you, thanks be to God, unto God, for His indescribable gift, I wouldn't be amiss. Keeping that in mind, then, you can see how that if a preacher was going to try to preach on the gift of God, which is eternal life, he probably doesn't need to go to this verse as his text verse, because it's kind of not the verse to suggest that I could spend time describing salvation, which is of the Lord. But while the verse literally negates efforts to completely describe the glorious gift of God, as it does, we realize and we ought to understand that there must still be something in this verse that could accommodate a message about the Lord's salvation. And there is. And it's the probably most often overlooked part of this verse. Thanks be unto God. Now, that to me is the subject matter for this text verse. And it's the subject matter we want to try to preach on. And I want us today to think about thanks to God for His indescribable gift of salvation by grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to spring off of thanks be unto God to talk about why we ought to be offering thanks to God for this indescribable gift. And so looking at what He said here, I want to say first of all, as we think about why we would want to be thankful about salvation in Christ, we want to first of all, I think about the fact that He worked this wonderful work when no merit was found in mankind by which He might be compelled or persuaded to give us the unspeakable gift. I mean, this is the great God of heaven looking down on mankind in his most awful condition, lost and undone, without any merit whatsoever, anything to recommend him to God. God looks down upon mankind, and every one of the people that represent mankind are totally corrupted in their way, and yet He determines, despite the corruption, despite the depravity, that He will give an unspeakable gift to His people that are in the midst of mankind. That, to me, is an extremely important reason why we would be saying thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. If you were a creator, that you and you could make anything from scratch, create anything out of nothing. I'm describing God here, as you obviously can see. Create anything out of nothing, and you created something called, well, let's call it man. Okay? You create something, man, and then after you create man, you notice that an enemy steals a part of that creation. So when you look upon that creation, you see that it's missing a part. And it doesn't function right anymore because it's missing that part. I'm describing what happened in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, brothers and sisters. And so when you look at it and it's missing a part and it's not functioning right, would you be tempted to say, the part's gone, it's gotten twisted out of shape, so I can't use it for what I created it for anymore, I'll just snuff it out and start all over? Wouldn't you be tempted as a ultimate creator to say that? Just start over. I can create another race of people out of thin air by speaking a word. And why should I fool with something that's damaged when I can just make it all over again and wipe it out and start over? We'd be tempted to do that if we were God. Now, on the other hand, let's say that you were that same creator and you looked and saw that an enemy had stolen a missing part, and it was missing and gone, and it had twisted the creation you had made into something that didn't work the way you made it. And when you looked at it, you realized that you could divinely, by the power as the ultimate creator, put the part back in. But when you looked at that and saw that if you put the part back in, it still was never going to work right again, because while the part was missing, the other internal workings of the thing you made got all twisted and messed up. The computer crashed, brothers and sisters. And it can never be the same again, because that something was inherently wrong with the internal workings of your computer, your creation. And so even if you put the part back in, it would never function right again. There's a diode messed up somewhere. There's a resistor that's gone bad. There's something wrong, and if you fix one thing, it'll just be something else, and something else, and something else. Now, when you saw it that way, wouldn't you be tempted to say, now I know I'm going to just wipe it out and speak a word and create a perfect creation that will fulfill the function that I made it for? Wouldn't you be tempted to be like that about your creation? You have all the power in the world. Well, that's how God was. He looked at man and saw that an enemy had stolen a part. And He looked at man and saw that man, that human creature that He created, was not only missing a part, his spiritual life was gone, but also if He put it back in him, he would never be the same again. There would still be malfunctions in him. And this, you know, that's exactly where God was at there in the garden. Because it doesn't matter that He saves us and renews our spirit and makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus. Do you realize there's still diodes and resistors and capacitors in us that don't work right? They still don't work right. It's called the old man in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. It still doesn't work right here, does it? And knowing this, the Creator, the perfect, all-powerful Creator, knowing this, said, I'm still going to do it. I'm going to give the unspeakable gift because I love my people. Thanks be unto God for the unspeakable gift. That's the first reason, I think, that we have to say with Brother Paul, thanks be unto God for the unspeakable gift. Now, thinking on this same line of thought, let's thank Him also. Let's be with Paul in thanking Him that in His infinite wisdom, He also understood that salvation could not come. Not only would it come to creatures who had no merit, and that after it came to them, they would still be faulty. But when he determined to do this, He understood that salvation could not come to us without divine intervention. That is, He knew and understood that the salvation that He thought about could not occur unless He intervened to make it occur. He had to intervene to make it happen for us. You've heard the saying, you wouldn't know what that was if it walked up and slapped you in the face. Well, this is where God was with us concerning salvation in His divine and eternal thinking about bringing salvation to us. He looked at man in his fallen state, and essentially, to paraphrase, He said, they wouldn't know what salvation was if they walked up and slapped them in the face. And He knew, based on that, that they would have to have some intervention from Himself in order for salvation to have any value whatsoever for them. And knowing that He was going to have to take it in His own hands and intervene to bring salvation to them, He did it anyway. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift that He gave, knowing that humankind had no power to do anything about making use of a salvation that He might offer without Him intervening. You know, there's a lot to be said for what the apostle said about human beings, about mankind, in Romans 3, verses 11 and 12, when he said, there's none that seeketh after God. God looked at us in His plan of salvation, in His plot of salvation, He looked at us, and when He looked at how we were, He said, there's none seeking after Me, and none will seek after Me. There's none that seeketh after God. They're together become unprofitable. He says, there's no profit to Him whatsoever. I mean, every human being that will ever live from this day forward will not be profitable to Me, and none of them will seek after Me. And that, God knowing that, provoked Him in His mercy and love to intervene in our salvation anyway. They are all dead in trespasses and in sins, He said, but I will send the unspeakable gift anyway. You know, and I hope none of you ever have to experience this, but it's a reality we face every day. When a person's heart stops beating and they stop breathing and they fall over and they're laying there on the floor or wherever, their heart's not beating, the blood, of course, has stopped pulsing through their veins, their brain is beginning to shut down, the breathing stops, and so no oxygen is being circulated through the body. That person that does that has entered upon the first stages of death. And when they're in that state, they have no power, and I'm there to say they have do not have even any human will to take charge of what's happening to them and revive themselves and get up. But if you jump down there and apply CPR to them, notice what happens most of the time. They revive, then they have motive power and human will to get up and do something. And God operated that way upon us. He came to the human being and gave him that impetus, that power, that will to do something in salvation. Believe. But before God intervened, none of that could possibly happen. Yet, in all of His infinite wisdom, He did it anyway. Now, we can thank our God for that wonderful, wonderful, indescribable mercy, gift of salvation, although He knew that we must have intervention by Himself. That was the really awful state of man at the fall of Adam. There was no reviving mankind without God's intervention. Now, there's another reason that's closely connected to that, why we should thank Him as the all-seeing, all-knowing God that He is, when He looked upon man in his condition and determined to give the gift of eternal life. God understood that it was not enough that the way of salvation be devised solely by Him, and that He take all the initiative to do something for salvation, but He also recognized that this salvation, the obtaining of salvation for men, must be done by somebody that was not amongst mankind. He realized and understood, and I'm giving you another reason for thanking Him for this unspeakable gift. He realized and understood, overlooking all of men that were and that would be through all of history, He recognized not a single one of them could stand up for mankind and say, "I'll be the one to transfer salvation to mankind, to human beings." None of them qualified. This is like that lamb being the only one qualified to open the book of the seals in heaven, Brother James. There was only one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as God looked over mankind, He realized and understood that in devising salvation, it must be done solely by the Son of God. But that He also understood that the application of the effects of salvation would have to be done by someone besides man himself. And so, the Lord Jesus Christ was the only one who could possibly reconcile us to God, bring salvation to us. Jesus Christ was the only one that could stand before God and pay the sin debt that had been accrued by mankind. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift, that when God saw and understood that that was the only way it could happen, He said, "I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to give a gift, the unspeakable gift, to my people, regardless of the fact that I'm going to have to provide myself a sacrifice for their sin." No man can provide himself a sacrifice. He can provide neither himself or someone or something else to wash away that sin. God knew it, and He provided His Son. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Now, I was about to say that He saw not only that salvation could not be accomplished, that paying of the penalty of sin could not be done by a human being, but had to be done by someone else, namely the Son of God, or if you will, divinity, brothers and sisters, had to pay the sin debt. He not only saw that, but He saw also in looking at man and at salvation that He planned that the effects of salvation had to be an act that must be done solely by divinity also. I'm enumerating all the reasons why we have thanks to be offered to God for the unspeakable gift. He looked at us, He looked at mankind, and He saw that, okay, I've provided a sacrifice. I've schemed up, I've designed the salvation process. I've provided a sacrifice that will pay the sin debt, that will justify human beings. That sacrifice is my only begotten Son. So now I'm going to do that. I've done that. Now, what about salvation being applied to the creatures that I intend this great unspeakable gift for? Oh, they're unable to apply it to themselves. They can't comprehend it. They can't reach out and grasp it. They're dead in trespasses and in sin and can't move an inch to get it for themselves, although it's all planned out, and I've even provided the sacrifice to pay the debt for their sin. They're totally incapable of getting hold of it. So I've got to provide that also. I will provide the Holy Spirit to go into the soul, heart of a man and quicken him to me. When I quicken him, make him alive in my Son, made alive in Christ, then he will look up and say, Father, Father. Then he will look up and he will have received salvation. The immobile, helpless man will receive salvation by my finished work through the Son and through the Spirit. You know that old guy at the pool of Bethesda in the book of John chapter 5 is a really great illustration of this very thing. Here, all of you remember the guy who was, the Bible said, was laid at the pool of Bethesda, and every season at a certain time, an angel would come down and trouble the waters, and the first person to step into the pool when that happened would be healed of whatever he had. And the man had been there for years and years, and Jesus came by and said something to him, and the man said, I would get in there, but every time I'm ready, when the pool gets disturbed and I try to get in there, I don't have anybody to help me, and I'm totally paralyzed, and somebody else beats me to it and steps in there before me. Isn't that a wonderful picture of how we are undone in sin? We're laying at the pool of Bethesda. We could know, brothers and sisters, that the power of God has a capacity to do some really amazing things. That guy laid there beside that pool for years and saw people go jump in there with legs that couldn't work, and they came out walking with arms that were shriveled, and they came out using them and whatever it was, and he knew God was doing something there at that pool, but he was not able to avail himself of it. Good. Incapable of getting there, if you will. And oh, by the way, isn't it a wonderful illustration that man said, there's nobody to help me get to it when the water is disturbed. That's another great lesson for people everywhere when we're witnessing to them. There's no man can help you come to Christ. He can preach to you until his mouth bursts. He can preach to you until your ears are falling off from listening. And he can tell you all the ways that it can be done. And people can grab you by the arms and lead you up to the mourner's bench or whatever. And it won't help any. Because people can't get you to God. When God saw that in us, he said, they won't make it by themselves. I've got to take a hand in that also. And so, I commission, the Lord Jesus commissioned, the Holy Spirit to speak to a soul, quicken him, and then he's able to say, my Father, to the great God of heaven. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 3 and verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, Jesus said. And wonderful words, that which is born of spirit is spirit. And so that's exactly the way it happens. Folks that are saved by the grace of God had it all planned for them, and the commission to get it done was all planned by the Lord and a way provided by the Lord. And when a soul gets saved, it's because the Spirit of God quickens him. And so it's a birth of the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, Paul said it like this, "Ye have received the Spirit of adoption." And that's what happened. That's the way the Lord has worked. That's what He's done for our unworthy souls. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Now, let's also thank the Lord in His application, that in His application of salvation to the souls of men, He not only did devise a way to bring salvation to reality in our souls, and He devised all the means, and He executed all the means through divine power, but He also devised a way in this salvation process to elevate the nature of those recipients of salvation to a divine level. What am I saying? God, in His plan of salvation, and this is a great reason to thank God for this unspeakable gift, God, in His plan of salvation, determined a way to make you more glorious and more exalted and more honorable and more like God than you were before. That was part of it. Thanks be to God. We as God's people, we receive salvation while we're living in this flesh, and a new creature is born inside of us. But we've still got the old man living in there, and there's this warfare, this contention, this conflict that goes on. But God has put into us a new nature that is capable of comprehending the things, the glorious things of the universe of God, the glorious things of the nature and attributes and actions and thoughts of God. And this exalts us to a level we never knew before. Before salvation, that is. This is God's work, and such a reason to thank Him for this unspeakable gift. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, the apostle said this, and I'm just going to use one phrase out of this verse. He's talking in that verse about God having sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." But listen how He starts this verse. "And because ye are sons." Because ye are sons. Now think. He who, you or I, who were worms and vile and undone and haters of God and enemies of Christ, you, because you are the sons of God, God has done something different for and with you. Because ye are sons. Made us sons. John says it like this in 1 John 3:2. "Beloved, now." When, Brother John? Now. What does now mean, Brother John? Now. Well, when is now, Brother John? Right now, I'm standing here in the flesh writing this to you in Scripture. Now are we the sons of God. Now are we children of the Most High God. Right now, we are. You see where I'm going with this? God has exalted us to a level not only would we have never obtained on our own, but we could never dream of attaining it on our own. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. What a reason to thank Him. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6, the Lord tells us that He has made us kings and priests unto God. Of all the exalted positions that we might imagine ever getting to, that's above them all. It really is. And we're just common folks that live out in the country here, folks. We just, you know, we don't even know how to act in the big city. And yet we are priests and kings unto God. That's what I'm saying. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Now there's another thing to be thankful to God for this unspeakable gift, and that is that the indescribable gift He's bestowed upon us included an eternal, limitless inheritance in a kingdom that He alone created and prepared for our enjoyment. Let me say that again. We know we want to thank God because He has given us, along with this indescribable gift, it's part of it. He has given us limitless inheritance in a kingdom that He prepared for our enjoyment. Now, I said at the start of this message that we're unable to describe the glories of this indescribable gift, and part of that is the inability to describe the glories of an eternal kingdom that can never fail, never weaken, never turn from a representative republic to a socialist totalitarian government. It can never do any of these things. It remains the same under the guidance and rulership of God eternally. It's unchanging because the omnipotent God runs it, and He custom made it for His people that He understands everything about. God custom made the kingdom of heaven, knowing all about who you are and what you are, and He custom made that kingdom for us. You know, Jesus told us when He's talking to the church in Luke 12 and verse 32, He said, "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." That says it pretty plain, doesn't it? Thanks be to God that part of that unspeakable gift is the gift of the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus said it another way that really brings home to us what I mean when I say that He custom prepared the kingdom of heaven to accommodate the elect of God. Listen to Him in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew in verse 34. The king there is talking about what's going to happen in the final judgment, and He says, "Then the king, Jesus, will say unto them on His right hand, 'Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for God and the angels?'" No. "Prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now think about that, brothers and sisters. You might think, well, you know, He's going to do something to accommodate the angels, and God's got to have something for Himself and Christ for Himself and so on. But what He's talking about here is having prepared something from the foundation of the world that was custom made for the people of God, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. My last thought on why we should be thanking God for His unspeakable gift is this. We have an indescribable kingdom, brothers and sisters, and it's enjoyment to look forward to in eternity, don't we? Just been mentioning it. But there's another thing that should cause us to thank God for His unspeakable gift, and that is this, that He has devised this indescribable gift so that we could enjoy and participate with Him in elements of that gift right now. Right now, while we live here. In our temporary time on earth, part of the unspeakable gift was designed that we have it and enjoy it right now. This past week, Diane was getting ready to have a little pre-Thanksgiving get-together with the kids and granddaughter, and late in the morning, forenoon, she made a pan of biscuits. And I walked by the stove there and looked at those biscuits, and we don't eat too many biscuits around the house, but you know, you ever notice how, if those of you that grew up in a country home where mama cooked biscuits for breakfast, when you see a pan of biscuits, it just stirs something in you. You're thinking, oh. You flash back to your boyhood days when you used to swipe the biscuits out of the warmer or something, and I looked at those biscuits, and I really wanted a biscuit right then. I knew I was going to get to eat those biscuits in some stuffing or dressing, as you call it, turkey dressing, later in the day or the next day or maybe both days. But I wanted a biscuit now. It was that biscuit there all beautiful and brown on top, and Diane gave me one of those biscuits. And, you know, I enjoyed that biscuit like you can't believe, because I got that biscuit then. It was a now thing. And you know, some of the things of salvation for us are just that way. We really would like to have them now. You know, we're looking forward to heaven and enjoying the kingdom God has prepared for us from the foundation of the world. But what about now? Well, there are things like that. There are all kinds of them. And you can probably think off the top of your head of several right this minute. But remember... remember how God talks about those things in the Word of God, and remember that there are some that we actually overlook sometimes that are some of those freshly made biscuits of the kingdom available now. You find a laundry list of them in the 5th chapter of the book of Galatians, and it goes like this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, there's your list right there to start with about the things you can enjoy now. Listen, all of you, me included, we know that without the power of the Spirit of God to reteach us about affections, we couldn't have the kind of love today that we have for our families, for our brothers and sisters in the church, for the lost sinner that's out there on the mountainside. We couldn't have any of that love. But it's a gift, part of God's indescribable gift, and we can experience it now. We can use it now. We can feel it and sense it and know of it now. Joy. We couldn't have the joy today that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ unless it had been a gift coming out of that indescribable gift of God. And the same goes with the peace that we enjoy in the Lord when things are really in a turmoil and we're able to just say, you know, Lord, help me here. And we feel that calming love of God enshroud us, and we know that everything's okay. Don't get all tore up. Everything's in good shape. Just rest in me. That's the kind of stuff that is part of this unspeakable gift of God that we have gotten from the Lord. There's more, a lot more. And you could probably think of many ways that God's unspeakable gift manifests itself in your life, with little packets of gifts coming to you day by day and moment by moment. And so we have reason to thank God for His unspeakable gift. Now, here's my last thought. I want us to notice that everything about this message actually focused us on one important factor. And that factor is thanking God. So, as we think about the salvation that's in Christ, We think about how we as Baptists love to talk about the grace of God and the bringing of salvation to us. Every time we think about that, let's thank God for His unspeakable gift and remind ourselves of one facet of it that we know is part of the gift package. And it will stir us to be more and more and more thankful for this unspeakable gift of the Lord.